If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to James chapter 3 and follow along as I read, beginning at verse 13. James 3 and 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts here in this place. And through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. We've come today to hear from you. Take your word, your servant, keep him out of the way, and help us to see clearly what you have written. As James has challenged us, don't let us simply be hearers, but doers of the word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. James has told us that saving faith, genuine faith, faith that is based upon the finished work of Christ, God's grace, accepted by faith in Christ, that saving faith works. It evidences itself. Of all of the illustrations he could have used, he began with the tongue. One of the ways we can demonstrate to those around us that change has taken place within us is how we talk. In general, and specifically, who and what we talk about. And he finished that section with illustrations. You remember the last one in verse 12? Can salt water produce fresh water? Well, no. Unless that salt water is changed, then that salt water can become fresh. That last illustration that he uses reminds us that that tongue left to itself, that tongue without the control of the Holy Spirit directed by the Word of God as a result of the indwelling Holy Spirit, is a loose cannon. Remember, James said, you cannot control it on your own. So one of the first ways we can tell others about the change in our lives, and some of you know this, whether it was through personal experience because you came to Christ as an adult, you have almost immediately sensed the change that happened in how you talked and what you talked about. And some of you have noticed it in others, coworkers, family. Can't believe the difference in the way that guy talks now. His vocabulary has been cut in half. And it's all good. Because salt water can't produce fresh unless it's been changed. James moves from that now to our discussion this morning with regards to wisdom. And he asks this question in verse 13, who among you is wise and understanding? That is in part a combination of helping us to understand what wisdom is and what all goes into it. Wisdom is knowledge. And for our purposes, truth, so knowledge of the truth, put into practice. I can know what's right and still not do it. I can know what's right and not do it right. So he's asking, who among you is wise and understanding? And here's the challenge, the last part of verse 13. Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. So if saving faith works, saving faith demonstrates itself, James in his list, and this doesn't mean that it's the first thing in the list, but as he's wanting to emphasize this, he starts with the tongue. And he's moving now into the choices that we make with regards to our living. Are we living wisely? That's why he says, let him show what? The fact that he has truly been born again, that he understands wisdom, wants to incorporate it in his life. Well, you should be able to see that. Let him show by his good behavior his deeds, the things he does, in the gentleness of wisdom. Another great combination, the gentleness of wisdom. Good behavior, what you do, gentleness of wisdom, how you do it. The NIV says the humility that comes from wisdom. Now that's more of a commentary than a translation, but I like that. The humility that comes from wisdom. Apparently, when we understand God's Word, and God's Word and God's Spirit is working within us, that wisdom that we have, truth in action, will produce humility. We'll know it's not us. We'll know it didn't come from me. We'll know it's something that God has done in my heart and in my life. Proverbs 2 and verse 6 says, knowledge and understanding produce wisdom. Now, having challenged us with verse 13, he describes first what earthly wisdom is all about. Earthly in the sense of the way we were. The kind of wisdom that only the world can provide. And there are five characteristics here. The first three in verse 14, bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, and arrogance. Bitter jealousy. Constantly looking around at others and seeing what they have, what they can do, the power that they have, and wanting it for ourselves. Selfish ambition. Now, you know, don't you, that the problem there is not ambition, it's the selfish part. Why do you want to grow? Why do you want to get better? For the paycheck? For the recognition? No, I want to get better. Remember, Paul said, to please our Heavenly Father. I don't want to do slipshod work. And I don't want to do really, really good work so that it brings all of the attention to me. I want to do what I do to serve my Father. But the world doesn't think that way. The world is ambitious, and it looks down at those who aren't. And says, you got to do it, and you got to do it for yourself to advance yourself. And that, those bitter jealousy, selfish ambition has to produce, the end of verse 14, arrogance. Look at what I've done. And we're constantly promoting ourselves in a variety of ways. Drawing attention to ourselves, drawing attention to what we have done, what we've accumulated, the power, the influence that we have. That's the way the world thinks. Now, the fourth characteristic, verse 15, is that it is natural and demonic, which really tells us where the source is of all of that. You do know that there are really only two sources for what the world would call wisdom, only two sources for wisdom, for knowledge, for understanding. Only two sources for a worldview, how you look at the world around you. Only two. God's and Satan's. There is no in between. You're either getting your information from God through His Word, or you're getting it from the world around you that got it from Satan himself. It's natural. It's demonic. My Bible says earthly. I don't know who said it first, but somebody said, it's straight from the pit and smells like smoke. It's satanic. Just recognize it as such. And the result, or the fifth characteristic, is down here in verse 16, and that's disorder and every evil thing. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. An illustration? Go get a paper. Or pull it up online. Much of what is challenging our culture today could be easily resolved by shining the light of Scripture. We don't know how to define marriage. We don't know how to define a man or a woman. We don't know so much about what is right and what is wrong. And we're struggling with it because we think we can come up with our own right and wrong, and we all need to be tolerant of your understanding. And the chaos that has created. How do you think this is going to end? With a culture that cannot define marriage and cannot define what is male and what is female. Where do you think that's going to go? It will produce disorder and every evil thing. There will be more, and it will get worse. I know that because my grandfather told me the same thing 60 years ago. He said, it can't get any worse. Well, yeah, it can, which tells me it'll only get worse. Contrast that. Here's the good news. The wisdom from above, verse 17. And there are seven characteristics. First of all, it's pure. There is objective truth. There is knowledge that we can apply to every one of these questions that our culture struggles with. Is it really as simple as a six-month-old fetus can be born and called a baby only because she's wanted, and at the same time destroyed if she's not? Where is that going to go? If we have no pure, true, objective truth, it will go anywhere. So, to begin with, we have truth, knowledge. It is peaceable. That is peace-loving. We're going to emphasize this in just a little bit, but don't trip over that word peace. This is not that symbol you older folks remember from the 60s. It's not about that. This is about the peace that passes all understanding. This is about the peace that the creation can have with its creator when it's rightly related. It's peaceable. It's gentle. The NIV says, considerate. And that's what gentleness is. That's what a gentleman is. Power. Under control. Considerate of those around. It is reasonable. The NIV says submissive. That's a little interpretive, but the wisdom of God makes sense when compared to or taken out of the Word of God. It is also full of mercy and good fruit, which, again, if saving faith works, and saving faith as one of its works is wisdom, then we should be able to see the good that comes from that. There should be evidence of it. It is also, number six, unwavering. The NIV says impartial. James chapter 1 says not doubting. Remember? If you doubt, you're kind of tossed about like a boat on a rough sea. But saving faith keeps us unwavering. And so the wisdom from God, the wisdom from above, would keep us unwavering. And finally, without hypocrisy. Or sincere. Honest. That's the wisdom from above. Pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruit, evidence, unwavering, without hypocrisy. So what is the result of all of this? Verse 18. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness. The salvation that we have in Christ by grace through faith. The evidence of that is righteousness, right choices. Right choices with regards to our tongue, right choices with regards to wisdom. What we recognize to be true, what we know to be true because we got it from this book. We recognize what is true and we put it into practice. So the seed whose fruit is righteousness, the way we live, is sown in peace by those who make peace. And again, this is not peace that compromises. This is not peace to just get along. This is the peace that comes from a soul in harmony, in connection with its creator. When we can address God as my heavenly Father. there's peace. Ask that of a man or a woman who the doctors have said the end is close. When the one you will see, when you close your eyes for the last time, here, when the one you will see is your Heavenly Father, beside Him, His Son, your Savior, and we will sense the presence of His Holy Spirit having completed the process, that man has peace. Look into the eyes of a man who hasn't a clue, who wonders, who hopes, maybe there will not be peace. Saving faith works. It evidences itself. It will prove itself in the wisdom, in the direction that we choose for our lives, where we get our truth and what we apply. And the result will be peace. Peace within and peace reflected to those around us. Again, not as a result of compromise, but because we know who's in charge. We don't know where all of this is going, but we do know where it will end. And we can be confident in that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and in a way that you can use to challenge and encourage us. I pray, Father, that it will be your word that will be resonating within us. All around us, there is chaos. Chaos created by earthly wisdom. One of the ways that salvation can demonstrate itself in the life of a believer is the peace that passes all understanding. That godly wisdom, may that be seen in our lives. May it prove to be winsome to those around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.